Every morning, find me moaning, 'cause of all the trouble I seen. Life's a losing gamble to me. Cares and woes have got me moaning. Every evening, find me moaning. I'm alone and crying the blues. I'm so tired of paying these dues. Everybody knows I'm moaning. Lord, I spend plenty of days and nights alone with my grief. But I pray, really and truly pray, somebody will come and bring me relief. Every morning, find me moaning, 'cause of all the trouble I seen. Life's a losing gamble to me. Everybody knows I'm moaning. Leap, dee, 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 boy, oh, let me stay for a long day.
All right. Everybody. Everybody knows I'm moaning too. I can't stand it. Alrighty. That was, of course, Jose James with Moanin', the great classical jazz tune. I just thought I'd play it because I think we're all in the same mood. We all feel like we need to go someplace and just moan at what is going on in our country. Well, that brings us to the introduction to our program today. By the way, I'm Eutrice Lead, and this is Lead Stories, L-E-I-D, Stories. And let's get started. All kinds of craziness is going on in this country at the moment, and it's only going to get worse, but it will be fast moving. That's the only good thing I think we could expect, that things will move along quickly as November the 3rd, Election Day, rolls around, and we get this over with. Whatever it is that's supposed to happen, Let's get it happening and see where we go from there. We have the Supreme Court justice being examined today. You know, I don't even want to talk about that just yet, and for good reason. And it's a psychological thing. It's a psychological thing. Something big is happening in the country. Okay, we get that. There's a new U.S. Supreme Court justice being evaluated for membership on the court. There's a lot of hubbub about it. I understand that too. But you know what? Over the weekend in particular, I decided I am not going to have these folks crowd my mind. I need my own space. All right? You're not going to crowd my mind with your agenda. I'm sick of it. So that everybody's talking about this, or everybody's talking about that, and they're is a predetermined outcome that you should work toward. And I'm not going to do that. This is the one thing I've insisted about this program. You have your own mind. We should use it and protect it. It's our sovereign territory. So we do not have to go with the flow. We do not have to talk about what everybody else is talking about. Because when we get ready to talk about it, you will find that it's as different as night and day. the way the rest of the world sees things and the way we see things. So I'm not dealing with the U.S. Supreme Court or any of that today. I'm going down our own road. And we will talk about signs that President Trump and his campaign are bracing themselves for bad news at the polls on November the 3rd. Are you getting any signs that they're bracing themselves for bad news on November the 3rd, despite all of the activity and all of the meetings being held and all of the rallies being held and speeches being given and interviews being played all over the place? All of the Trump people, everybody named Trump has been dispersed to different media outlets to get the word out about how Donald Trump is being wronged, but how he will win just the same. But when you look closely at what they're saying, you get a sense that quietly they're very despondent and they don't like what they're seeing. And it looks as if they expect bad news at the polls on November the 3rd. So we start off with that today. In your view, from what you are observing in media, in terms of media coverage, are you seeing signs that Trump and his campaign are bracing themselves for bad news at the polls on November the 3rd? And if so, what are those signs that you're seeing? 888-874-4888. Ed from Jamaica, you start us off today.
Yeah, good afternoon, Utrice. How you doing?
Okay, Ed. How are you?
You know, me and the thumbs, we're here.
You and your thumbs.
Me and my thumbs. I know that gives you a tickle when you picture me hanging from a room somewhere by my thumbs. I'm not going to take you off topic because I know that you're a stickler for that, and I appreciate that. This is your show. But my name was taken into a lot of people's mouths last week, and I wanted to address that, but maybe that
address
saves
it.
That for
address
another
it.
Time.
Address it. Go ahead.
I'll save that for another time. I'm going to stay on topic.
Okay.
Trump, is he one of the signs that he's expecting a negative outcome at the polls? Well, I mean, it's hard to tell with this guy because he's so unhinged that everything seems to be a panic action. According to the polls, he's going to do poorly. I mean, he's concentrating on the battleground states. His people are knocking on doors and making inroads to these battleground states, trying to get the people that got him elected 4 years earlier to come out again. But he's got a huge campaign against him. His behavior is manifesting, showing that he really doesn't care about the people as far as how he's handled his own infection with the coronavirus, if you want to believe that, which I think is dubious at best, because the man is a notorious liar. Be that as it may, I think he feels threatened. I think they've got the contingency plan with the Supreme Court. I also think they've got a contingency plan with the delegates. They've got a plan A, a plan B, and a plan C. If the race is relatively close enough, it could go down. It could come down to like it did in Florida with Bush, and it could come down to the Supreme Court deciding. And he's setting himself up with that by rushing this nominee through. They can also do a delegate stealing type of thing, where states can agree to, even though the popular vote doesn't bear in his favor, they can have their delegates vote for Trump based on who's whether it's a red state or a blue state. So there are a lot of little tricks with the Electoral College and with the Supreme Court that he can pull in a tight decision. So I think that's what his people are looking at. And I don't think he's going to. If he does lose with a large percentage, or if he doesn't win the Electoral College, I think he'll gracefully go out. I think people are a little bit too afraid of this guy. America is a system. America is a business, and there are fail safes and prevents somebody from becoming a monarch and taking over. Like I said, we get mad at the puppets, but we don't get mad at the puppet masters, which is that small elite that actually control this whole thing and who these people are behooving to. So, like I said, it all depends on how this election goes. If it's close, I think they'll play Supreme Court games. I think they'll play Electoral College games. We got to keep a close eye on the leisure domain or sleight of hand, if you will, that's going to go on with this. If it's an overwhelming win for Biden and Harris, I don't think there'll be too much playing around. But if there's a razor's edge or if there's a closeness to it, they'll definitely try to shuffle the deck. But the sad part is, either way, both sides aren't doing anything for us. And that's the real sad part. Like I said, we get mad at the puppets. We got to start getting mad at the puppet masters.
Amen. Let me ask you another question, a related question. If you think that there are signs that Trump will not accept defeat if he loses at the election, what do you think he's likely to do? And what is the response? And what will the response be from key sectors of civilian life or from the government? What is it likely to be?
I'm going to be totally honest with you. I mean, I'm going to be totally honest. I don't think he's going. He's not that powerful. And people know America is a business. It's been around for over 200 years. The powers that be, the people that control this government, are not going to let you screw it up. They'll let you do certain things. They'll let you portray wild thoughts. But once you start to get close to the core of power, once you start to become a threat to commerce, become a threat to the corporation that is America, they take you out. They'll put a bullet in you. They did it to Lincoln. They did it to Kennedy. I mean, if he was really that much of a threat, if they thought that he really carried that much influence to start something in this country, he'd be dead. Because they're not going to let somebody upset the status quo. That's what people don't realize. This country is a status quo country. Calvin Coolidge said it nearly a century ago, and it's still true today. The business of America is business. And as long as you can do whatever you want, as long as you don't influence business, we are all right. Martin Luther King could ask for civil rights all day long. When he started talking about human rights, when he started talking about the poor, when he started to amass a front of poor people's campaign, that's when they took that man out. When Kennedy started to acknowledge the people and started to and acknowledge the poor and started to unite people on a common front and point out who the real enemies are, they take you out. So, I mean, Trump is a buffoon, but he's no, there won't be any type of civil war or anything behind him. Those goons in what is it, Minnesota trying to take the governor, the FBI has people planted in everything from the days of COINTELPRO to the days of Timothy McVeigh. And if you don't think they didn't know what was going on and just waited for the right time to move on them, they did. They got CIs. They got civilian informants. They're planted in everything. Every time I go to a movement, I watch around and see who's who and who's what, because you got to pay attention. They got their claws in everything, and they're not going to let things get out of hand.
It's not that bad with you. Oh, Lord. Okay. Well, thank you. You addressed both questions that I posed to you today. But let's see how it all works out. I'm sure we will get additional hints between now and November 3rd as to the answers to these two questions. Thank you, Bill. Thank you, Ed. Sorry.
Thank
Bill,
you.
You're on the air at 888-874-4888.
Thank you, Teresa, to all in the listening audience. And I rarely agree with most of what Ed says, but I think he's right on point on some things today, and that Trump will be out of office if he loses. He is a bully. All bullies, you know, are, they have all this braggadocio about what they're going to do and all this. He will be leaving office. And I wish Biden would say that directly to him, you are out. And the Constitution mandates it. And no matter what the Supreme Court does, I mean, certainly if it's overwhelming, the man will be out of office.
The Constitution doesn't mandate it, does it?
Pardon?
The Constitution doesn't mandate that Trump should be out.
I think there's a procedure that, you know, for the transfer of power that, you know, once a president or once contestants lose an election, that they are then they've lost. So, I mean, there's I don't think there's any wiggle room around that. I mean, he can't just lose an election and think he's going to stay.
Well, that is correct. I thought, okay, all right, that is correct.
And so, but in his doped up mind right now, I'm sure he thinks that. But I think that in terms of what you were saying, what the response of the people, you know, should and must be, even when he loses, there should be a mass assembly of people in Washington in front of the White House demanding that he and his administration pack up and leave post haste. There can't be any playing around with this character. He's, you know, he is definitely, he thinks he's a Mussolini, you know, from his porch on the White House and all of his antics.
It's called the portico. Just to
the portico.
In line with the Mussolini adjective that you use, he was on a portico.
Portico.
Yes.
And so the man is delusional, but he, just like with most tyrants and bullies, they need to believe that they're more powerful than they actually are. And the media is complicit in this. I mean, you never hear what the common person is thinking and saying on the street. I mean, I've never been asked anything. I live in Brooklyn. I'm in New York City. Nobody's ever put a mic in my face. But that's why I appreciate you, Yatrice.
Nobody has put a mic in your face and asked you what you think. So
exactly.
What are the signs, though, that you're getting that mm-hmm. Trump will not do very well on November 3rd?
There are a number. And last week I was hearing something which I almost couldn't believe, but it's actually apparently true, is that Trump has been trying to bully the attorney general to indict and even arrest Biden and Barack Obama. And also with Pompeo, who's the Secretary of State, he has actually gotten Pompeo to, from what I understand, to agree to release emails from Hillary Clinton, you know, years ago. So that's a sign that this is a desperate person who's grabbing at all kinds of straws. And in his desperation, he's very dangerous. He will scuttle the ship if he gets the chance. And like Ed said, you know, he runs the risk of, you know, a star chamber being executed on him, for lack of better words.
But don't his actions in a way embolden his base to say, well, he's doing exactly what we want? Mm-hmm. It's time we get a strong leader who mm-hmm. listens to what we want and to correct some of these wrongs that have gone on for the last 4 years. And he's mm-hmm. doing it, which is
yes.
why they are even more convinced than ever that he is the right guy for the job.
I agree. And just like with all despots and tyrants in the past who need to go nameless right now, their base usually are solid, and they march with them like lemmings over the cliff, like Pied Piper, to their own demise. And as we've seen in Michigan, we've seen elements of that, and we've seen what happens when the true forces of the state intervene and will take them out. And so, yes, his base, they're rock solid, but with all rocks, there are fissures and fractures, and they're starting to crack.
Okay,
but,
good.
Like I said, with all tyrants, their base are pretty solid, but But I think they're starting to crack at the fringes and in the center. But he does have a core group that they're going to follow him off the edge. There's no doubt about that.
On a scale of 1 to 10, how certain are you that he will lose the election on November 3rd?
I am not 100% certain. I'm like about 90% certain. And I truly wish there was some place on this planet that I could go and crawl up under, you know, a rock and wake up, you know, the next morning. And because I, like so many others, are going to be on pins and needles November 3rd because, you know, there's nothing that's certain. But I do get a sense that the mood in the country is people are weary. We're tired of this. We cannot withstand another 4 years of this daily drama, this incessant tweeting and nothing being done to benefit the vast majority of the American people who are in crisis, a crisis of COVID, crisis of unemployment, crisis of lack of housing. And just that's just on the national level right there. You look internationally, it's even just as bad, if not worse.
What signs do you see that Trump will not accept defeat if he loses? And what do you think he's likely to do in that event?
Well, like Ed said, I don't think Trump is as doped up as he is on his meds and his normal organic malaise mentally. I don't think he's that crazy. I mean, this man... he does not want to go the route of other tyrants as recently, and God forbid, you know, things that we've seen in the Middle East. But you know, I don't think that could ever happen here. But he knows what happens to despots and tyrants who, when the will of the people comes down, then they come down. And so, you know, we all look forward to that last moment when he salutes the press and climbs on to, you know, Marine One, and they fly him off to Andrews Air Force Base to go to Mar-a-Lago or wherever they're going to take him. But I don't think he is that insane that he is going to, you know, go into the bunker in the White House and lock himself in and not come out.
Okay, well, we'll see. We still have time for observation between now and the 3rd. To see if there are any discernible or more discernible changes in both the scenario and in the person that we're talking about. Thank
Absolutely.
You, though, Bill, for calling in and starting us thinking on another planet today, a different
Thank
planet.
Thank you, Utrecht.
We need to be.
Bye.
Thanks a lot. Jay from New York, you're on the air.
Good afternoon, Utrecht. First of all, I'd like to apologize if you feel as though I was talking to you in a disrespectful manner. I apologize. As far as Donald Trump goes, I think he's going to get back in office based on the simple fact that the Supreme Court is going to put him back in office. May there be a landslide in regards to this election? Could be possible. But I just don't see it that way. I think there's a great deal of Americans who unfortunately believe in what he's saying, who can't see the lies that he's continuously saying on a daily basis. If anybody or anyone or anything, I blame the media for this. I think it's the media who has basically, because of their desire to make money off of this situation, has allowed him to get away with things that I don't think any other president would have been able to get away with. And just basically the climate of the country along with that. So, you know, I would just basically say, start preparing yourself for 4 more years of this madness, and it's only getting worse, because what nobody's realizing is, and unfortunately it will come to pass within the next couple of months, people are losing their civil rights in this country. So So whereby you're going to be in a situation where they're going to make it impossible for you to get medical coverage where you can afford it, which is just going to take millions and millions and millions more people into abject poverty. Then you're going to have a situation to where as the country is going to become militarized, then you're going to have a situation, depending on what happens with this pandemic, that the economics in major cities are just going to be totally devastated. I mean, if Trump gets back into office, you can forget about New York State. It's going to be the worst that it's ever been, just based purely on the economics, and that he won't help the state out in the manner in which it needs the help. I mean, to be honest, Biden is basically no better, but what he will do is he will do simple things to keep the empire growing and moving forward. But as far as Trump goes, it's going to be a disaster. And plus, the main thing is he knows that if he leaves the presidency, he's going to wind up going to jail. Because New York
so
State...
So are you seeing signs? Are you seeing any signs that Trump, if he should lose, will not accept defeat?
Oh, no question. Every day. Every day you see the signs. Every day when he sets the parameters of what is being done in regards to absentee ballots, you know, and things of that nature. Those are just setting up the stages which he will try to use for his defense that it's a fraud election, and then take it into the courts, which will lead to the Supreme Court, which will lead to the Supreme Court ruling in his favor. And then at that point in time, it's no telling what may happen in this country. See, that's the thing that I don't think people really understand, is that if he's allowed to return to the presidency because of the Supreme Court, what actions are the American people going to take? You know, they keep on talking about the militia for him. What about the militia for people who's against him that are not seen as militia? What about if they decide, okay, now we're going to go to the streets, or if somebody's intelligent enough to give them a direction of how they punish the people who back them? What happens, take an example, if someone says, to those that are upset and frustrated by the Supreme Court giving Trump the victory, what if somebody comes and says, everybody stop purchasing from Target, Walmart, and Amazon? And if the people were intelligent enough to follow that direction, what do you think would happen to the economy of this country?
On what basis would the Supreme Court give Trump a victory if, in fact, the polls said that he didn't win?
It means nothing. It means nothing, because let's be honest and let's be fair. With Bush and Gore, that same scenario came into play. And what did the Democrats do? They said, let's leave it alone. But when it was all counted and said and done, didn't Gore win? You see, there's a viciousness to this that people really don't realize. And the viciousness is that the Democratic Party, based on white supremacy, is in cahoots with the Republican Party, based on white supremacy, but they got to keep the people off balance to think that they're against the Republicans, but they're going to do one thing, and the most important thing that most people in America don't understand. They're going to protect power and whiteness. And that's the reality in all of this.
All right. Thank you for your opinion. We'll see what people say. But first, we take a break right now and come back to the discussion that we're having. We'll be right back. Oh, You're listening to Lead Stories on PRN.FM. I'm Eutrice Lead, and Jose James sounds the way I feel right now. I don't know what the heck is going on in this country, and it has me all baffled. It really does. But we'll figure it out as we go. 888-874-4888 is the number to call. And we are trying to figure out what is ahead, if we can call it. Signs that Trump and his campaign are bracing themselves for bad news at the polls on November the 3rd. What signs do you see? Henry from Chicago, you're on the air.
Hey, Eutrice, how's it going?
Okay. How's by you?
It's okay. Hanging in there. You know me, I still believe that Trump is the heavy favorite to win this election. But if there are some signs that might indicate that he might lose this election, one might be the handling or the attempt of the Michigan governor, the kidnapping and assassination attempt of the Michigan governor, and how he kind of responded to it. Now, don't get me wrong. I think the Michigan governor kind of responded in the wrong way as well by blaming Trump. But at the same time, his response was even worse. And those who are probably on the fringes, not sure who to vote for, they probably may not feel safe with domestic terrorists, you know, inside of our country. So that might be one indication. And I think another indication might be, and, you know, I might be totally wrong on this, is with the Supreme Court. And I think in this way, because if you look at the Supreme Court, the Supreme Court is majority Catholic, and even though there is a sect of Catholics who still support Trump, overwhelmingly a lot of Catholics do not support, you know, Donald Trump. But the way I see it is his,
Trump,
you know,
isn't
his
Catholic. Trump isn't Catholic.
Yeah, I know, but that's what I'm saying. I think the Catholic vote might go against him. And him appointing this new woman, can't think of her name. She has three names. So
Amy Barrett.
Amy Comey Barrett. So I think that was a way to kind of appease the Catholic vote. But I think that's going to go against him because of the fact that, you know, I believe the Supreme Court has five Catholic justices on it, and then two Jewish, I think, or three Jewish, and then they have one Episcopal. But I think that's going to play a role if it does go down to the Supreme Court. I don't know.
Exactly are you expecting to go to the Supreme Court? We've heard references today to the U.S. Supreme Court and its expected role in delivering victory for Trump. I'm still confused as to what exactly is the Supreme Court supposed to deliver for Trump?
Well, you know, in the case that if this vote is close and it gets to an issue where the Supreme Court has to, you know, decide, I think they might go against him. I mean, I know a lot of people think that I think people I'm looking at this a different way. A lot of people are thinking that the Supreme Court might be in his favor if this vote goes close. But I think it's different. I think it might go against him.
Hmm. Well, in that case, what do you think Trump is likely to do? How is he likely to react if there's a significant opposition to him and great doubts about whether he won legitimately?
Oh, I mean, he's it's going to be like a five-year-old spoiled brat who you take away his toy and he's going to cry.
Five-year-old. Don't insult five-year-olds.
They're going to cry and stomp and, you know, say you're mean and, you know, all that other kind of crazy stuff. And I think that's exactly what he's going to do. I've posed concerns about what his followers are going to do in regards to, you know, if he loses this election, because, you know, obviously you have dangerous elements like this group who tried to who attempted to kidnap and assassinate an elected official of a state. You know, I'm assuming that there are more groups out there in that type of support for Trump. So I'm more concerned about them than what Trump does.
Well, thank you. And I agree with a lot of what you said here today. I really do. I think, though, we have to stay tuned, because this thing seems to be evolving a mile a minute every day. You know, we just don't know what's about to happen and what should we be prepared for. Thanks, Henry. Gwen from New York, you're on the air. Hi, Gwen.
Hi, Eutrice.
How you doing?
I'm okay. It's we have the storm up here that everybody else got down there, so it's not a nice day. I've been listening to the hearings for Amy Coney up to the point where I started to listen to you, your show, because it was getting a little boring. They both have their, you know, argument and the points they're going to stay on back and forth. But as far as Trump is concerned and him getting in, I don't agree with the last caller. I actually don't think he's going to get back in. But that doesn't mean that things are going to go smoothly. And that doesn't mean that it's not going to be contested. And it doesn't mean he's going to leave either, because there are a lot of people where I am. I've been caretaking for my father in Cape May, New Jersey. And it's the split is clear and easy to read. I think I told you about it the other day. And it really comes down to prejudice. I mean, it really comes down to a lot of prejudice, but it also comes down to financial, where you are financially. So if you're playing the stock market and you're winning, you're going to go for Trump. If you're the poor white guy over there in Rio Grande, New Jersey, you're probably going to go for Trump because you're a racist. A lot of people are racist, and they feel like, I might be poor, I might not have anything else, but I'm not black, so I'm going with them over there. And then you have the middle class, which I believe are mostly going for Biden, and the upper middle class too, which are also going for Biden. So that's kind of the way I'm reading the split, because I'm really looking at the signs and where I'm seeing the signs. Literally, there's signs all over the place down here. But I'm also seeing crazy things like, and I'm sure people are seeing this all over the country, I see young guys going by with their trucks with gigantic Trump flags on them, and American flags and the Confederate flag. And that's why I don't think this is just going to go down easily. I think that it's going to be hard to read it, because unless Joe Biden gets a landslide on the actual day of the election, and I urge people, if you're going to vote, please go in person, because that's the easiest way to get a count faster. If you're sending in, and it's going to take longer. So the longer it drags out, the more time it gives them to figure out how to stay in place. So I think that people should definitely go to the polls. But I think that like what we saw the other day in Michigan, that there's lots of things cooking behind the scenes that we're just not aware of. And I also hear that there's a black militia movement as well that's getting ready. And I think that there's a lot of people. I think Trump has stirred up so much in people that they're just ready to fight anyway, just to fight, just for the sake of fighting. So I don't think that this is going to go down so easily. I think this putting this woman in place is going to seal the deal for him. I don't think that Gore had a clear loss in Florida. I believe truly this. The fact is that the Supreme Court decided that Bush was going to be our president. So I think that that's what Trump is counting on. But as you look at him more closely, as the days go on, he looks more and more like a dictator coming out on the White House lawn and not wearing a mask and giving his speech. And that was really weird watching all the poor black people that they bust in. Of course, they paid them.
That was so surreal to me.
I've seen this. I'm going to tell you, when I ran for city council and the woman I was running against, nobody liked her. She couldn't get anybody in there. So they went to the homeless shelters and they put people on buses and they paid them and they gave them sandwiches. And that's how they got people to come to the rally. So it was the weirdest thing. I'm looking at all these people down there and I'm thinking, where on earth? But, you know, I know how it is. When people are poor, you know, give them some money and they'll show up. And that was really, really crazy. So to watch that. But, you know, it just speaks volumes about who he is, that he can't get anybody to come out and get with him unless he's paying them in, you know, one way or the other, in payment, either in, you know, his craziness of supporting these militias and the bikers. So it's one thing or another, but I don't think it's going to get down easily. I don't think it's a landslide for either Trump or Biden. But I also think for sure that the way he handled his own getting sick, I absolutely think that played a role. I talked to a woman the other day who is a farmer's wife, and her husband I know for years. He's a teacher and a farmer, but she said he's a Republican and he's not voting for Trump. And I said, what do you think happened? And she said, I think he saw the way he handled his own getting sick and the way he handled, you know, just how crazy he was and what he's been saying is so crazy. So I think that there's some conservatives, the conservative Republicans that are not, they're not real radical right, and they don't think that the way he's been acting lately has been so off the wall and so crazy that I think that for the sake of them not destroying the country, I mean, if you have any rational thoughts in your head, are you really willing to split, divide, and kill the country over this guy? Because that's what we're looking at. This is what he's willing to do. And, you know, that's why it scared me when I saw the all of the things coming out about him in the New York Times and his taxes. Look, I'm glad that it's out there. But the problem is Trump is going to do anything he can to stay in office, because for sure they can definitely arrest him and his family now, because they none of them have paid taxes. That's straight up tax evasion. And I heard somebody speak about this the other day that said it wouldn't just be him, that the whole family could go with him because they were complicit in helping him hide his taxes or not pay any taxes. So I think he feels that I have nothing to lose. So do I want to spend the rest of my life in an orange jumpsuit, or am I going to, you know, do whatever I can to stay in this office? And, you know,
it,
I think
it would at least match his complexion. if he's rich, me
that peachy
in an orange jumpsuit.
He's going to look good in it.
You answered some questions and you anticipated and answered other questions that I was going to ask you. You got ahead of me there. And I'm glad, because it saved me having to ask you these questions. You knew intuitively where I was going. Thanks so much.
I'm reading your mind.
For contributing today. I'm sorry?
I said I'm reading your mind.
Yes, you are. You're reading my mind. Whatever is left of it.
No. You have a great mind.
Thank you. Thank you, Gwen, for calling in and contributing today. 888-874-4888. We have room for a couple more calls if you are inclined. The question that we are pondering today, or the issue we are pondering, what signs do you see that Trump and his campaign are bracing themselves for bad news at the polls on November the 3rd? And what signs do you see that Trump will not accept defeat if he loses the election. What is he likely to do? And what is the response, especially by the government and key sectors of civilian life, likely to be in that event? We don't know, but certainly this, the way it's unfolding, is very disconcerting. I think people are very troubled by the unfolding of this election. So much of it is so out of step with the history of U.S. elections as we have come to know them. Donald Trump is an aberration. Many people are upset because they think that somebody referred to a five-year-old baby. He has been indulged. As much as we wanted a system to stand up and say, no, what you want to happen does not constitute the rules. There are rules, they are set, and for decades and decades, we've required people to abide by the rules. You can't make up the rules. You can't decide that what you want to happen will be what the rules will be. It's just not that way. And we've been babying this president. We've been giving him more and more latitude to do these outrageous things and get away with it. So the question even is, could Trump literally do anything wrong? Because there seems to be a way out for everything that he has done so far that has violated the law, violated the rules. He seems to have been able to find a convenient escape that has been provided. So he took it. This is troublesome, because a society starts to fall apart when these things begin to happen. And people say, well, wait a minute, how does he get away with that? If the rules and the laws don't apply to him, or don't apply to him under these particular circumstances, then why do we pretend that we have rules and laws? What is the meaning of the electoral process? Do elections have meaning anymore? Do we trust elections and the outcome of elections anymore? This is where we are. People are very, very nervous about it. I spoke with somebody today talking about this feeling of uncertainty. And you can tell there's a tremor in the voice, being uncertain as to how things will turn out or could turn out, which is even worse. And we got pictures and glimpses of that from Gwen, and we got it from Jay, we got it from Bill, we got it from Ed. Everybody pretty much referred to it in one way or the other. A sense of decline, deterioration into a state of, the sociologists call it anomy, where everything just goes to pot. People do what they want. The society becomes lawless and directionless, and it opens up the possibility for leadership that has no sense of obligation to stand fast and to look to the future, if you will, of the country. Because people say all the time, well, this is a country of laws. Well, not so we will notice with Donald Trump's candidacy. It's not a nation of laws. It's a nation of lawlessness. and people doing whatever the heck they want to do, because I am the president. I am the law. And what I say goes. We've gotten to that point. And that's what people fear. They, you know, it was gradual, but it picked up speed and went downhill pretty fast. And they see only serious danger ahead. There's no way back from where we are now. There's no easy way back. And in the meantime, we don't know what the way forward looks like either. So we're stuck. It's an awful place to be in. But still, we have to have faith. We have to have hope that somewhere there is an answer, a workable solution to the problems we know and we anticipate we will face. We have never been really in this kind of spot before, coming so close to, you know, the tyrants that we've read about and that have been written about in Europe. But this is as close as we've gotten so far, and it's terrifying. It is very terrifying. And then on top of that, we see the answer on the civilian side. How are civilians reacting to the lawlessness that they're witnessing at the presidential level? We see the answer. We hear it loud and clear. It's not good. Could it be a civil war? Could it be the outbreak of race riots and race wars? What is going to happen? People are very apprehensive. And it may sound like a bit for people's health. I just heard something there. I imagine people's health is affected. The anxieties have built to such a degree, it will affect their health. Literally, day to day, you don't know what is likely to happen. You're worrying. You're trying to figure out what you can do as an alternative, where to go in case things go crazy. All these things that people are beginning to think about now that they didn't think before. Just 4 years ago, this was not part of their daily thinking. Now it is. And I don't know what the answer is, except that we talk it out as much as possible. We talk it out. Okay, that does it for today. I don't see anybody else lined up in queue, so that does it for the phone calls today. I want to encourage you to remain focused. We know what is happening. At least we think we know what's happening. And of course, we expect that much more is happening than we actually know. But we have to remain calm, and we have to remain focused. And we have to get our own act together. We have to do that. Start doing it now. Because the way things are going, you could expect things to go south real fast. You know, see to your family. Take care of your family and situate your family, yourself and your family, to be able to cope in the event that things get pretty rough. But don't despair. Don't despair. We have the ability to some degree to solve or to cope with our situation. So we shouldn't lose all hope. and we shouldn't, you know, run out in the street holding our heads, talking about the sky is falling. Even if that might very well be the case, we have to just remain calm for the moment and talk things through. I want to thank you very much for contributing to the program today and for listening and for always doing your best to offer your best. That's what keeps this program going and makes it useful for people who may not call in, but they're listening. I know that they're listening. And we, therefore, are in a position of making a contribution at that level. They have fears too. They may not want to express them. They may not want to even recognize them or deal with them right now. But if they hear a word or two that puts things in perspective for them, it helps. It helps them to make sense of the times we're in and hopefully how they can best cope. So thanks once again, and we'll see each other tomorrow. Bye-bye.
Finally moaning, I'm alone and crying the blues. I'm so tired of paying these dues. Everybody knows I'm moaning.